Let me start with the smell. If you have ever walked the innovation displays at a big air show, you know the smell of jet fuel and hot avgas. It is the smell of aviation. It has been the smell of aviation for 100 years. Now picture a flight line where one of the aircraft on it burns nothing. No exhaust you can smell. The only thing coming out the back is water vapor, a little wisp of steam. That airplane exists. There are several of them, and every summer some version of that idea shows up here at Whitman Regional Airport, parked on the innovation ramp at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh, drawing a crowd of pilots who lean in close and ask the same question you're probably asking right now. Does this actually work, or is it a science project with good marketing? I'm Vector, this is Radio Hangar, and you're listening to Clear Direct. Today, we are going to talk about hydrogen, specifically hydrogen electric propulsion for airplanes. Let's break this down because the data tells an interesting story, and it is not the story either the cheerleaders or the cynics want to tell you. Before we climb into it, a quick word about the folks helping keep this segment in the air. This one is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, that first CFI signature you give somebody else. The whole journey in something you can hold in your hand and set on the table. Beautifully made, built to last. That's AviationSoul.com. All right, hydrogen. Let's start with what it actually is because there's a lot of hand-waving out there. There are two completely different ways to use hydrogen to move an airplane, and people mix them up constantly, so let's separate them cleanly. The first way is to burn it. You take hydrogen gas and you combust it inside a more or less conventional turbine engine. The same way you burn jet fuel. Companies have run turbines on hydrogen. It works. The catch is that burning hydrogen in air still produces oxides of nitrogen. The same nitrogen compounds that come out of any hot combustion process. So it is cleaner than kerosene, but it is not perfectly clean. That path is mostly aimed at big airliners way down the road. The second way is the one showing up on the innovation ramp, and it is the one I want to spend our time on. You do not burn the hydrogen at all. You feed it into a fuel cell. Here's what a fuel cell is without the chemistry lecture. It is a device that takes hydrogen on one side and oxygen from the air on the other, and instead of letting them combust in a violent flash, it lets them combine in a slow, controlled electrochemical handshake. That handshake produces three things: electricity, heat, and water. That is it. You run the electricity into an electric motor. The motor spins a propeller and the airplane flies. The exhaust pipe, if you can even call it that, drips water. So, a hydrogen electric airplane is really an electric airplane. It has electric motors, it has power electronics, it flies on electrons. The fuel cell is just the thing making the electricity on board in real time instead of storing it in a battery. And that distinction right there is the whole reason people keep chasing this. Here's what most people miss. The problem with battery electric airplanes has never been the motor. Electric motors are wonderful. They are light, they are simple, they are ferociously reliable, they make gobs of torque, and they barely care about altitude. The problem is the battery. The problem has always been the battery. Let me give you the number, because the number is brutal. Jet fuel and avgas store somewhere around 40 to 50 times more usable energy per pound than the best aviation batteries we can build today. 40 to 50 times. That is not a gap you close with a clever engineer and a good weekend. When you try to build a battery airplane with real range, the battery gets so heavy that you're essentially flying a flying battery that happens to have seats. Hydrogen changes that math. By weight, hydrogen is the most energy-dense chemical fuel there is. Pound for pound, it holds nearly 3 times the energy of jet fuel. The lightest element on the periodic table punches so far above its weight that it is almost unfair, so the pitch writes itself. Take the clean, quiet, simple electric drivetrain that everybody loves. Get rid of the heavy battery that everybody hates. Replace it with a tank of the lightest, most energy-packed fuel in the universe. Fly clean, fly quiet, fly far. That is the promise. Now, let's be honest pilots about it because there are real problems and I'm not going to hype vaporware without caveats. Problem number one, and this is the big one. I told you hydrogen is fantastic by weight. I did not say anything about volume. By volume, hydrogen is terrible. It is a wispy, ghostly gas that takes up enormous space. To carry a useful amount of it, you have to do one of two hard things. You either squeeze it to extremely high pressure, we are talking 5,000 to 10,000 pounds per square inch in heavy reinforced tanks, Or you chill it down until it turns into a liquid, and that means down to around minus 420 degrees Fahrenheit, colder than almost anything you will ever encounter. To keep it that cold, you need a cryogenic tank, basically a flying thermos built to aerospace standards. Think about what an airplane is. An airplane is a machine obsessed with two things, weight and space. Hydrogen wins gloriously on weight and then loses badly on space. So the engineering fight in this whole field is really a fight about the tank. How light can you make the tank? How much room does it steal from the cabin? And how do you keep the fuel where it needs to be? Problem number two, where do you get the hydrogen? And how green is it really? Most of the hydrogen produced in the world today is pulled out of natural gas in a process that releases a lot of carbon dioxide. The industry calls that gray hydrogen. The clean version, green hydrogen, is made by running renewable electricity through water to split it apart. That is genuinely clean. It is also right now more expensive and produced in far smaller quantities. So if your whole reason for flying hydrogen is to be clean, you have to actually source the clean kind, and that supply chain is still being built. Problem number three. Infrastructure. And this is the one that pilots feel in their bones, because we live and die by the fuel truck. Right now, you can land at thousands of airports and get avgas, or jet fuel. You cannot taxi up to the self-serve pump and fill your cryogenic hydrogen tank. That fueling network essentially does not exist yet for general aviation. It is a genuine chicken and egg standoff. Nobody builds the airplane without the fuel, and nobody builds the fuel network without the airplanes. Problem number four. And I will say it plainly because you are thinking it. Hydrogen burns, yes it does. But here is where the data pushes back on the cartoon in your head. Everyone hears hydrogen and thinks of one famous airship fire from 1937. The engineering reality is more nuanced. Hydrogen is incredibly light, which means when it leaks, it does not pool around your feet the way gasoline vapor does. It shoots straight up and disperses fast. Jet fuel and avgas, by contrast, sit in a puddle and wait. Neither one is a toy. Both demand respect, but the honest engineering verdict is that hydrogen is a different fire risk, not automatically a worse one, and it can be designed for. So that is the balance sheet. Wonderful energy by weight, painful by volume, clean at the tailpipe, but only as clean as your supply. And a fueling network that has to be built basically from scratch, promising, and genuinely hard. Both things are true at once. Now, who is actually building this? Because this is where it stops being a physics lecture and starts being real airplanes. There is a company called ZeroAvia that has been flying hydrogen-electric powertrains in real, full-size aircraft, not models, working their way up from a small twin toward a larger 19-seat commuter-class machine. They are aiming squarely at regional airline flying, the short hops of a couple hundred miles. There is a group called H-Toll Fly out of Germany that flew a piloted aircraft on liquid hydrogen, the cryogenic kind, and did it as a crewed demonstration flight. That matters because liquid is where the real range lives. There was Universal Hydrogen, which had a bold idea about swappable hydrogen capsules you could truck around like propane tanks, and which flew a converted regional turboprop before running into the financial headwinds that hit a lot of these ventures. I mention them on purpose because the graveyard is part of the honest picture. This is hard, and not everybody makes it. And the big engine makers are circling. There is serious work on hydrogen fuel cell propulsion at the large aerospace companies, and Airbus has spent years and a lot of money studying hydrogen as a path to a future airliner. They have pushed their timelines around, which tells you something real. When a company that builds actual airliners keeps moving the date, believe the difficulty, not the press release. Here is why AirVenture matters to all of this, and why I keep pointing you to that innovation ramp. Oshkosh has always been aviation's product launchpad. This is the field where the home-built movement proved that ordinary people in ordinary garages could build extraordinary airplanes. This is where composite construction went from crazy to normal. This is where glass cockpits and affordable autopilots and whole airplane parachutes all found their first real crowd of buyers who were willing to be early. The experimental category exists precisely so that new ideas can fly before the full certified rulebook is written for them. Hydrogen electric propulsion is exactly the kind of thing that Ecosystem was built to incubate. A fuel cell stack, a set of electric motors, a novel tank, all bolted into an experimental airframe, flown by people willing to be first. You will see the small versions before you see the big ones. That is not a bug. That is how aviation has always de-risked the future. one brave little airplane at a time on a grass field in Wisconsin in July. So let me give you my honest timeline. Engineer to pilot, no hype. In the near term, the next handful of years, hydrogen electric flight is going to live in demonstrators and small commercial pilots, short routes, small aircraft, fuel available at a few specific airports, not everywhere. This is the crawling and walking phase, and it is real, and it is happening now. In the medium term, call it the next decade or so, the plausible sweet spot is regional flying. 19 seats up to maybe 50 or so, on routes of a couple hundred miles, feeding into a hydrogen network that grows one airport hub at a time. That is the target ZeroAvia and others are chasing, and it is the most credible near-future case for this technology. The big hydrogen airliner crossing an ocean full of passengers? That is a genuinely long road, and anybody who gives you a confident near-term date for it is selling something. The tank problem at that scale is enormous, and the airport infrastructure at that scale is a national-level project, not a company-level one. And here's the part I want you to hold on to, because it is easy to miss when you're arguing about which technology wins. It may not be one winner. The most likely future is a split. Batteries take the short light stuff, the trainers and the short hops, and the eVTOL air taxis. Hydrogen takes the medium regional missions where you need real range without the weight of a battery. And traditional fuels, increasingly blended with sustainable versions, keep doing the long, heavy transoceanic work for a long time yet. Different tools for different missions. That is not a failure of the vision, that is just good engineering. Because that is the thing I keep coming back to, standing on that ramp, looking at an airplane whose only exhaust is a little curl of steam. The romance of it is real. But romance does not fly airplanes, physics flies airplanes, and the physics of hydrogen is a genuine mix of a spectacular gift and a stubborn set of problems, sitting right next to each other, refusing to be simple. That is exactly why it is worth watching, and exactly why it belongs at Oshkosh. My thanks to the teams at ZeroAvia and H2F Live for putting real aircraft in the air, and to Airbus and the broader research community whose published work shaped how I frame the trade-offs today. You can find us at radiohanger.com. Next time you're walking an innovation display and you catch an airplane that does not smell like anything at all, walk over, ask the hard questions. That little wisp of steam might just be the future clearing its throat. I'm Vector. Keep thinking in systems, and I'll see you next time on Cleared Direct.